if you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12 and 5. I love the Word of God. I love preaching. I love to preach and I love to hear preaching. And this week I was studying in my office and doing some work there, and I was listening to a little snippet of a message by Brother Jeff Arnold. And man, it's so good. I had to open the door and turn it up so that the Rebecca and Will and whoever else was in the office could hear it. I was going, woo, preach it. Man, it was so good. So good. Amen. I love preaching. God is so faithful to us. Amen. It is by the preaching of the word that we are saved. And it's not just being a hearer of the word, but we need to be a doer of the word. 2 Corinthians 12 and 5 says, of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. What a powerful testament to the fortitude of Apostle Paul. And this morning, I just have a simple thought for you that I've entitled, Whatever It Takes. Whatever it takes. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch my heart and my mind. In the name of Jesus, that you would prick our hearts with the word today. Lord, that it would settle deep upon us and that we would submit ourselves to the will and to the way and to the process of the kingdom, Lord. That in our trials that we would not be frustrated, but in our trials we would allow it to teach us what you want us to learn, and it would mold in us what needs to be there. Lord, I ask you to touch us right now by your power and anointing, that you would help me to speak concisely. Help me to speak powerfully. Lord, let your word flow through me like a river today in the mighty name of Jesus. Why don't you put your Bibles down and put your hands together? Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why don't you tell your neighbor as you're seated, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Amen. We sang a song and we still sing it every now and then that said, I must be saved. It said, above all else, I must be saved. Another song said it this way, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll have you to do. Amen. I want the kingdom to be alive in my heart and my mind. I want the kingdom of God to be so real to me that it takes over my passions, my priorities, everything in my life. I want it to be my focus. Even in my practical world of things I must do to survive and to live this life and to take care of my family and whatever it takes to do that, I still want to keep the priority of the kingdom and heaven in my view. Amen. It is so easy to get caught up in the things of life and have your mind be focused on getting through the next day and paying the bills and going to the doctor and all the things that we have to do in school and work and life and relationships and children and marriage and all the things that take up so much of our time. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their proper perspective. But oh, as we go through every day, I want to make sure that my mind and my heart is focused upon a world that I cannot see. I want to make sure that my heart and my life is focused and prioritized based upon a world that is going to last forever when this heaven and earth is passed away and all things have become new. I want to have my heart and my life focused on those. It is so easy for us to get distracted by the mundane. It is so easy for us to get caught up in the things that don't matter. It is so easy for us to get sidetracked by the struggles of life and forget that the reason we're here is to serve God, to love Him, and to be a part of His kingdom, and ultimately to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so I have determined in my life that whatever I have to lay aside and whatever sacrifices I have to make, we call them sacrifices many times, they are really not much when compared to what we receive in return. But whatever sacrifice I must make, that if I have to make that to make heaven, oh, let it come to me, Lord. Whatever I have to bear in my body, whatever cross I have to carry, whatever situation I have to go through to refine me, let it come today. The Bible says that it rains on the just and on the unjust. Jesus told the parable of the man that built his house upon a rock and the man that built his house upon the sand. The commonality of those two men were they both built a house and they both went through a storm. But the difference was the result at the end of the day, what they built it upon. And so in our lives, it is inevitable that there are going to be storms, that there are going to be trials, that there are going to be struggles. They are going to come. It rains on the just and the unjust. You are going to have good days in the church, and you're going to have bad days in the church. You're going to have good days living for God, and you're going to have bad days living for God. It is just the way it is. Congratulations. Man is just a few days and full of trouble. It's the way it is. The difference is what you are built upon. The effects of the fire today affects different things in different ways. If wood is thrown into a fire, the fire consumes the wood until it is unrecognizable. It becomes ashes. If clay is thrown into the fire, it becomes hard until it is unpliable and unmovable. But if gold is thrown into the fire, it will heat it up to the point where all the imperfections rise to the top and are removed, and it purifies the gold. The common thread in those three situations is the fire. The fiery trials are going to come. In fact, the apostles said, don't think it's strange when the fiery trial comes upon you to try your faith. Don't think it's strange. Don't think it's weird, because it's going to happen. But Rejoice inasmuch that you are able to go through these things that Jesus himself went through. Rejoice that you are being tested, because when you come out on the other side, your life is going to be pure as gold. And so I have watched over the years as I have pastored, as I have loved people, as I have prayed for people, I have seen people go through the fire. And I struggle with them, and I've seen them deal with death in their family. I've seen them deal with sickness in their own life and diseases that they did not know if they were going to survive. And I've seen people lose stuff that they thought they would never get back. And I've seen the results of those things happen in many different ways. There's people that are just consumed by it, and they're almost unrecognizable. And there's other people that, oh, they stick around, but the heat of the fire and the trial made them so hard that they're almost unreachable. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, it's like you're talking to a statue. And then I've seen other people that they put their head down and they trudge through the fire. And when they have come out on the other side, I've watched these people that lose loved ones and even children. I've watched people that have lost years of their life through the disease that they had to go through, and the struggle and the pain and the nausea and all the things that they had to deal with through their sickness. But yet in every turn, they just stayed faithful. And many times they were more concerned about other people than they were concerned about themselves. And every time you turned around, they were still coming through the door. And every time the song was played, they were still lifting their hands and their tears were still running down their face. And when they came out on the other side of their trial, and they came out on the other side of their loss, oh, they had a testimony, and they were closer to God when they went through the fire than they were before. The thing about the fire is that it will always reveal what you are made of. And so I say today, as Paul said, I will take pleasure in my infirmities, in my reproaches, in my necessities, in my persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Whatever people say about me, whatever I have to go through, whatever fire I have to walk through, whatever storm I've got to make it through, whatever situation I have got to go through today, I want to know that I am going to survive. And when I come out, rejoice not against me, O mine enemies, because when I fall, I shall arise. Because it's in those times that it reveals what we're made of. And the stakes are too high and the cost too great for me to fail. I said the stakes are too high and the cost is too great for me to fail. Not only for my own soul, but for those that I will lead to salvation. Those that are following me in the way. Oh God, help me to survive. Help me to thrive in the heat of the trouble. Help me to be able to be thankful for the thorn that you have put in my life, because it is the thing that reveals Christ in me. And when I die, I gain. But to live is Christ. And so I want to be able to say, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes. Jesus was very clear on this subject. He said in Matthew 5:29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it into the fire. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. It is so important. There is nothing more important than our souls. There is no desire. There is no education. There is no position. There is no relationship. There is nothing that I want to do in this world that is more important than my soul. I'll say it again. There is nothing in this world. There is no financial blessing. There is no business. There is no power. There is no pleasure. There is nothing in this world that is more important than my soul. There is no friend. There is no relationship. There is no boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse that is more important than my soul. Oh, you can play around with it if you want to, but I want you to know that I'm not going to get as close as I can to the world. I'm going to get as close as I can to Him. It doesn't matter what I have to give up. It doesn't matter what I have to lay aside. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. I tell you today that whatever it takes, I must be saved. Amen. Oh, but there's grace of God. Yes, there is. Yes, He is loving and long-suffering and kind and gentle. Yes, He is. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. Yes, He does. He communes with us above the mercy seat. Yeah, He does. But 2 Peter 2 and 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." He also says, if He spared not the natural branches, Israel, but He cut them off to be cast in the fire, and He grafted us in, how much more will He judge us when it comes time? And so, yes, I preach a loving God. I preach a merciful God today, but I also preach a reality of heaven and hell. There is nothing in between, folks. There is no neutral place in God. Just because you're a good person, just because you try to be a good citizen, it doesn't really matter if you don't obey the word of God. I tell you, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and there is only two places to choose. There is not a third. There is not some place in between, but oh, there is only two. And whatever it takes for me to get there, and whatever I have to sacrifice, and whatever I have to pay, and whatever I have to give up, and whatever cost I pay in this life is going to be well worth it. The old song said it this way: it's going to be worth it all. It's going to be worth every long mile. It's going to be worth every trial. It's going to be worth every struggle. It's going to be worth it all, because when I get there, oh, when I walk through those gates, and when I get into His presence, and when I hear that voice say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When I hear Him say those words that I have strived for my life, that I have preached about, that I have prayed about, that I have reached for other people for, when I hear Him say those words, every sacrifice is going to seem so small. Every struggle is going to seem so insignificant. Every fire is going to seem so dull. Oh, every trial is going to seem so short when I walk into that place and I feel His presence and I get to live with Him forever and ever and ever. Whatever it takes, I want to make it. Oh, whatever it takes. Oh God, if my right eye offend me, let me pluck it out. If my right hand offend me, let me cut it off.
if something's in my life that is keeping me from God, if there is some desire, if there's something in my life that is drawing me away, keeping me from the house of God and making me not want to sit under the conviction, love of preaching, if I feel that way, God, let it be removed from me. Let it be removed from me. Hallelujah. Because be careful. Be careful that the longer you play around with those things, the more you will justify them. And the Bible says, because they love not the truth, that God will send a strong delusion. And that at some point you'll even think that your sin is a blessing from God. If you're not careful, God will let you be deceived. And you will think that your sin, that your false doctrine, that your false ways are from God. We must be careful, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Revelations 20:10, it says, "Then the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great throne, great white throne, and set him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." That's God. "And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." But wait, he's a God of mercy, yes. He is a God of love, yes. But he is also a God of holiness. He will not wink at your distress. He will not wink at your sin for very long. He will not wink at your willfulness forever. He will reach for you, yes. He will offer you mercy, yes. He will give you grace and mercy, yes. He will send your pastor to preach a message and do his best to reach for you on a Sunday morning that is sleeting outside. But you made your way to the house of God, and he will send mercy to the pulpit today, and he will have mercy preach across this place, and he will have the word come to you. But there is one day where no man can work, where nothing can be changed. It is time for us to say, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Amen. There is two callings in my life that I must heed today. That I say, whatever it takes, let me be a part of that. First of all, my first calling in my heartbeat today is I must be saved. I must seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Whatever I've got to go through, whatever I've got to endure, whatever I think I'm laying aside, whatever I think I am missing out on, whatever it is, it really means nothing in the light of eternity. When I look at the things that I want to do and that I want to be and that my flesh wants to partake of, when I look at it through the eyes of eternity, it just means nothing. It means nothing. Have you ever done something wrong and then you tried to make an excuse? And when you're saying it out loud, you know, you got there. you got to your parents or you got to the principal or you got before the judge, whatever it was, and you thought you had it all formulated. Well, this is why I did this and the devil made me do it and, you know, whatever. You thought you had a great excuse and you get there and before it's over, it just falls apart. It's like dust in your hands. It sounds so frail when you say it out loud. Amen. And when we get there, there's no excuse. The Bible says that nature itself teaches us. We see the glory of God in the things that He created, that every man is without excuse today. Every man. And how much more those of us that have been taught, those of us that have been preached to, those of us that have been prayed for. I'll tell you this morning that if I go to hell, I won't be able to blame anyone. I won't be able to say I didn't hear it, I didn't know it, my parents didn't do it. I won't be able to say that. And my calling as a pastor today is to make sure that I remove every excuse. If you go to hell today, it will be by ignoring my calls and my texts and my emails. It'll be by pretending that you're not there when I knock on your door. If you go to hell today, it will be with the resounding sound of my voice, whatever it takes. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. You don't want to live like that. It will be in my voice will be resounding in your ears, and the voice of every preacher and every youth conference and every youth congress and every rally and every revival will resound in your heart and your ears. You must block it out if you want to go to hell today. Oh, I want you to know that whatever it takes, I am going to reach for you, because my second calling, my first calling is my own soul, but my second calling and the calling of every believer is that we would preach the gospel to every creature, that we would tell them, oh, you've got to repent. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. Oh, it is my responsibility today. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Oh, God. Whatever it takes, I want to reach you today, whatever I can do, because heaven is real and hell is real. There's a place that the pleasures are forevermore. There's a place where joy never ends. There's a place where no tears will stain the faces. There's a place where there is no parting, there is no suffering, there is no night. There's no storms there. There's no trials there. There's no taxes there, no doctors, no lawyers there. And when we step into that place for the first time in our whole lives, we will breathe in pure perfection. I often think this, that the most amazing thing about heaven will not be the golden streets or the jasper walls or the gates of pearl. It will not be the tree of life or the crystal sea. It will not be all those things. That first initial feeling of being in a sinless environment. And you just breathe it in. Oh, what an astounding place to be in a city where the Lamb is the light. But oh, in the same thought, I cannot imagine. I've been in some places, in some cities, in some situations that were so heavy with the stain of sin. I've driven into some cities, and you could feel the atmosphere change when you got close. It was almost like you felt like you needed to go take a shower in the Spirit. It just felt dirty. And when you left, you're so happy to get out of there. Hey, man, there's some places I'll never go again, Lord willing. Because it just feels yucky, if I can use that, just yucky. But, oh, can you imagine the heaviness, the weight? Can you imagine the darkness? And I think just as in heaven, that initial thought that you'll have is, it's perfectly pure. The atmosphere is like breathing in God Himself. This was what I had a little earnest of. The Bible says that He gave us an earnest of our inheritance. When we breathed in and the Holy Ghost came into our lives and we began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, it was an earnest. It was a little down payment. And for a moment, for just a second, you were translated into a different world. But oh, when you walk through those gates, it's like all of that all the time and even greater. But at the same time, those feelings of darkness, can you imagine breathing in your first breath of a godless place? I can't imagine saying Jesus and not feeling Him. I can't imagine singing a song and not sensing His nearness. I cannot imagine turning my mind upon the Scripture and not feeling His presence in every word. But there, it will be like darkness is an absence of light. Hell will be not only the punishment that's there, but I think the worst thing about it will not be the fire, but it will be the absence, the void of God Himself. Whatever it takes. Paul said, I prayed 3 times, Lord, take this thorn away from me. I don't know what his thorn was. I don't know if he had a physical issue, or maybe it was just his mind that he could not get the pictures of those people that he persecuted out of his mind. Whatever it was, whatever his thorn was, he came to the realization when God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness is my strength made perfect. He recognized, oh, it's that, whatever that is, it's that thorn that is keeping me anchored. It's that thorn that's keeping me from getting lifted up in pride. It's that thorn that draws me back to my knees and says, Lord, I can't stand it without you. I can't make it without you. And so he came to the realization that his pain, that his thorn, that his suffering, that his trial was really an anchor that tied him. It was a foundation that he built on. It was a strength that said, I can make it. I can make it. And he said, so now I would rather glory in my infirmities, whatever it takes. For my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. Sunshine or rain, comfort or pain, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Thank you.
Let's stand together. These altars are open. Whatever you're dealing with tonight, today, whatever your temptation, whatever your struggle, whatever your fire, whatever your thorn. Oh, Jesus. His mercy is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. Oh, I have two calls today. One is to be saved, and the second is to convince you. Some you win with love, and some you win pulling them out of the fire. Oh, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, Lord. I must be saved. Oh, hear the voice of mercy today. Hear the voice of another chance today. Hear the voice of love today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together.